We're going to continue and finish up tonight with We Need to Pray. And tonight we want to talk about we need to pray and fast. This is taken from Brother David Church. I'm going to complete this series on prayer by going back to the original text in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 and 15. You want to turn there if you want to watch it on the screen. 2 Chronicles 7, 14 and 15. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their lands. Now mine eyes shall be opened, and my ears attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. Excuse me. The added element that I want to discuss in humbling ourselves. You see, God called us to humble ourselves and pray. And when we pray humbly before God, His eyes and ears are open to our prayers. And there are a few ways to humble ourselves in prayer. And many of them we have already mentioned. Get down on our knees before God. We pray secretly. We pray often. And we pray according to God's will and not our own will. But one of the best ways to humble ourselves in prayer is through fasting. You see, humility enhances, folks. It enhances the power. It enhances the focus of our prayers. Fasting has an ability to humble us better than anything else. Get a drink here. Let me bring a cough drop. In the Old Testament times, there are many records of those who put on sackcloth and ashes. And then they prayed with fasting until they received an answer from God. And this was all done for the purpose of humility in man's approach to God. You see, in ancient times, just as today, thank you. Oh, that's my favorite kind. Amen. It's God's will. I'm far better than I was Sunday, believe it or not. In these ancient times, just as it is in today, folks, the clothes that somebody wears speaks a lot about who that person is. If we see a person wearing a white coat with a stethoscope around their neck, you think they're probably a doctor. Our dress speaks volumes about who we are. Brother Huntley preached a message about distinction in dress at Youth Congress. See, he said it's all right to be different. Apostolics understand that probably more than anybody. But during Bible times, if a man wore a purple or blue, scarlet or crimson, he was recognized as a man of high esteem. If he wore silk or any other fine material, he was probably royalty. Sackcloth was the lowest quality of clothing that existed in that day. It was made of goat and camel hair and was very coarse, very uncomfortable. When somebody wore sackcloth, they were saying, "I am humbling myself before God." See, to be naked was the most humiliating state of man could achieve. Wearing sackcloth was just one step up from that. Torn sackcloth with ashes was a sign of further humility and fear of God. And when somebody wore sackcloth with ashes, they were, in essence, denying themselves honor, denying themselves position, denying themselves comfort. In society, they were giving up things in the natural with the hope of attaining something in the spiritual. You see, fasting was also accomplishes the same thing. Giving up things in the natural with the hope of attaining something in the spiritual. In Bible times, it was mostly giving up food. Fasting is a way of humbling ourselves before God. And during the New Testament church, fasting was an important part of every person's life. And we know this because when Jesus spoke of fasting, he said, "When thou fast," not "if thou fast." Matthew 16:17, "But thou, when thou fastest." Fasting was considered to be an important part of their lives. It was done at least once and sometimes twice a week. The Pharisees fasted twice a week. And one Pharisee said to Jesus in Luke 18:12, "I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." See, wearing sackcloth with ashes was always associated with fasting in the Bible. Now, you might be thinking, "Well, Pastor, are you asking me to wear a sackcloth and ashes, tear my clothes, and roll around on the floor every time I fast?" No. I don't think that's what God is really wanting from you. But remember, we are talking about humility. Amen? Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 6:17-18. "But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." God's not asking you to look around and make people think just by looking at you, you're fasting. Amen? So don't draw attention to your fasting by looking the part. Don't advertise it. God knows what you're doing. Amen? And he knows the spirit behind it. So Jesus was saying that fasting does no good unless we are humble about it. So don't tell everybody, "Hey, I'm fasting today. Check me out, I'm fasting." He don't want you to do that. Amen? At the same time, you need to fast for the right reason. Some people fast for the wrong reasons. Some people, they want to fast for a new job, fast for a new car, fast for things they want. They try to force the hand of God through fasting. You see, the people of Jeremiah's day tried forcing the hand of God, kind of like a modern-day hunger strike. But look what God said in Jeremiah 14:12. "When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offerings and oblation, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence." God's hand does not need to be forced. Amen? God wants to answer your prayers. God wants to give you good gifts. God wants to bless your life. But we cannot force God to do anything. And that is not what fasting is about. You see, the primary purpose of fasting in the Bible was to come against evil, to come against wickedness, so that God's will be accomplished. In Isaiah 58:5-7, "Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will thou call this a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord, to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out of to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh." See, God chose fasting to set people free from their bondage. In the Old Testament times, there were many slaves and oppressed, and God did not like that. And on one occasion in the New Testament, the disciples of Jesus were unable to cast out a demon out of a little child. This child was a slave to this demon. And the disciples were very embarrassed by their failure. So they came to Jesus with some questions about this failure. In Matthew 17, 19 through 21, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." This scripture, folks, demonstrates three things. Number one of the purposes of fasting is to come against evil and wickedness in this world. Why? So that God's will can be accomplished. The second reason is there are some things in the spirit realm that will only be accomplished through the combination of prayer and fasting. And the third and the most important, fasting changes us, not God. Amen? It's us that need to change. Jesus did not say the reason they failed was because they did not fast, but he said they failed because of their unbelief. Their unbelief was a result of them not fasting. So Jesus was saying that they needed to be changed. They needed, not him. He said, "You need to be changed." He's telling his disciples that. So listen, people. If you will never have enough faith to do God's work unless you pray and fast. Amen? Fasting causes our faith in God's ability to grow. God is great. He is as great as he ever was and ever will be. God's power is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can't change God. But how we feel about God can be changed. Amen? You see, that, in a nutshell, is what fasting is all about. It changes us. I hope you guys are warm back there because I'm cooking. That back furnace ain't working, so I got this blasted up here. So it's, ooh. But fasting changes the way we think and how we feel about God. It grows our relationship with God. And though our faith is increased in God. And if you feel like your faith is struggling a little bit, it's time to pray and fast. Fasting, what it does is adds a dimension of power. It adds a dimension of faith to our prayers that are not there without it. And in the Old Testament, King Jehoshaphat found himself in a battle that he wanted no part of. The Moabites and Ammonites were coming against Judah. And in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1 and 3, it came to pass that after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them another besides Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some of the, and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea in this side of Syria. And behold, they be Hazarel Tamar, which is Engedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. Look what he did, folks. He didn't want any part of this, but he knew he had to deal with it. So he proclaimed a fast. And Moab and Ammon were the children of an incestuous relationship between Lot and his daughters. And as a result, they and their descendants were the plague of Israel and Judah for generations. There was a long history behind this. And Jehoshaphat understood, folks, that what this attack against them, he understood what it meant. It meant certain defeat for Judah because they were severely outnumbered in chariots They were outnumbered in horses, and they were outnumbered in men. You ever feel like you're up against something that you're just outnumbered? Or you think sometimes you have no chance of it ever working out for you? Well, here he was. Jehoshaphat was afraid. He didn't know what to do, so he called a fast throughout all the land of Judah. Jehoshaphat understood something that every one of us ought to have and understand. He knew that fasting was the only way to get his people to believe that they had a fighting chance. You see, their thinking had to change. They were afraid like him. Their thinking, his thinking, must change. So how is he going to do it? Jehoshaphat knew that if they did not have faith in God, they were as good as dead. The Bible says that they prayed and fasted together as a whole nation before God. And God said to Jehoshaphat, he said, "It is time. Go meet them in battle." But listen, Jehoshaphat, don't worry about this battle. It's not your battle. He said, "It's my battle." Come on. We got to change our thinking, folks. A lot of times we're fighting these battles we have no business fighting. We need to say, "Okay, God, this is your battle. I'm changing my way of thinking." Now, if you remember the story of Jehoshaphat, he sent out the musicians in front of the army. Right? He said, "Come on, folks, get your praise on. Get up front. Let's get your praise on." Imagine that, folks, sending out musicians in the front lines of the battle. That was some serious faith in God right there, wasn't it? Come on. The musicians began to sing, and they began to praise the Lord on the way to battle. Guess what? Guess what happened? Ammon and Seir literally destroyed one another in battle without even one of the children of Judah being touched. When Judah saw the victory that the Lord had given them, they went down to the battlefield and they laid claim on the spoils of war. Folks, it literally took them 3 days to gather the riches of the nations and carry them away. You see, word began to spread throughout all the kingdoms of their world that the Lord fought against those who oppressed Israel and Judah. The Bible says that Jehoshaphat had rest and peace for the remainder of his reign for a period of 25 years. It only happened because a king decided that his nation needed to pray and fast before God. I think it's time, folks, that us apostolics in our home need to understand that we're going to pray and fast. We're not going to tolerate this garbage in our houses anymore. We're not having these attacks come against us anymore. God wasn't changed, but God changed the people and their faith through fasting and prayer. Hallelujah. If God did that for Judah back then, he will do it for us today. Amen? He will do it for us today. Amen. You see, folks, when you are facing an enemy that you don't know how you're ever going to be able to defeat, it is time to pray and fast and say, "God, I need you to work me over. I need you, God, to change my thinking. I need you, God, to help me to believe and trust in you." Hallelujah. When you need your faith increased, it's time to pray and fast. When you need faith from freedom from addiction, it's time to fast and pray. When you need faith from freedom from sin, it's time to fast and pray. When you need faith for freedom from fear in your life, it's time to fast and pray. And folks, and when you want God's will to be accomplished in your life, fast and pray. If you want peace, if you want joy of the Holy Ghost in your life. You need to pray and fast until you are changed. Amen. Listen to what the Bible says will happen when we fast. In Isaiah 58, verse 8, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. I don't know about you, but I want the glory of God in my life. I want the glory of God in your life. Amen. I want to see good health. I want to see what us want righteousness in our life. Is there anybody here that wants the glory of God in your life? Amen. Is there anybody here that wants good health? How about the righteousness of God in your life? Hallelujah. Fasting also gives us victory over temptation. If you know, folks, if you know you can make it a day or two without food, then you can make it without things of this world. Right? You can live above sin. You can live above temptation. And you can fast from these things besides food. All right? You can fast from anything that draws your attention away from God, like social media. Amen? Like sports, like hobbies, coffee, soda drinks, all these kind of things. Amen? When our attention is taken away from these things and is focused on God, folks, what it does, it draws the attention of God and the favor of God our way. Now, God, folks, when we fast and we pray, God is attentive to our prayers. Amen? In 2 Chronicles 7:15, now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. How many of you want God's attention when you pray? When you fast? Amen? Fasting helps accomplish that. Amen? We want God's will. Amen? Let's stand here tonight. Thank you, everyone. I hope this blesses you and helps you. We will start another series next week. This has been good. It's been helpful to me. Amen. I hope it's been helpful to you. If you want to hear the rest of these, you can go online, churchofpentecost.net, and you can hear these. But we need to get the attention of God by the way we think and the way we look at God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We just need to grow deeper in Him and understand Him. Amen. And what He's all about. Praise the Lord. Lord, we love You. We ask, God, that You just bless each one here tonight. I pray, God, You help us apply this to our lives. We give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.